everyone. You are with Radina from the Stellar Sound podcast, your host for today. And right now we're joined by a very interesting guest. I know I say it every time, but I'm really honest in that because I really like to be talking to her. And I just told her that before we started recording. Her name is Aronia, and we're going to be talking specifically about her latest project, Amber and the Moon. So welcome, Aronia, to our Stellar Sound podcast. Very nice to have you here and to get to know you better.
Thank you so much for the invitation. I'm really excited since it's my first ever podcast.
Yay!
So I'm excited for your questions.
Awesome. Great. Well, hopefully we do well, but you know, I'm just very excited to get to know you. Hopefully also people that are listening would find something for themselves. First thing I want to ask you, just to start from the basics, tell us a bit about you, who you are, and what led you to decide to form Amber and the Moon.
So I'm a songwriter, I'm an artist, singer and musician, and actually I did music since I was a kid, and over the years it just developed into a really big passion. And then I decided, I think 3 years ago, to move on the other side of the country. So I live in Germany, now in Hamburg, to study songwriting there. And that was also the beginning of Amber and the Moon, basically. And Amber and the Moon is an indie folk project, for those who don't know what my project is about. And what was your question?
Yeah, a bit about who you are and how you decided to even create Amber and the Moon. How did it come to be?
Yeah, so like I already mentioned, I did music for a long time before Amber and the Moon. I think I started to write my first songs when I was at the age of 14. And then it was like when you grow up, you have your little band projects, and it's more about fun and not taking it too serious, like just a bunch of friends play some instruments, maybe rather badly than any good. And then I had like a solo project I performed under my real name. But then during the pandemic in 2021, there was like a tricky time to me because, like for everyone, I tried to be creative and stay creative. And this was the time where I got into music production a tiny bit, and I started to produce my very first single called El Dorado. And actually it was my first release with Amber and the Moon. I think it was in April 21. But I always had in mind I wanted to have a band, but during that time it was quite hard to create. So I started as a solo project, and then it finally developed into like a band. Mm-hmm. So we're in a 4-piece band, which is really nice.
Yeah. That was 4-piece even.
Yeah. Oh. We have live, we play, I play with three other people on stage, which is really exciting to me because when I started out, I always had like my guitar sounds, and I had a vision for it, how it could sound. But then when you finally be on stage and everything that you imagined came true, and you're surrounded by all these different instruments, and the vibe is really great. Yeah.
And who are the people that are part of Amber and the Moon now, actually? How did it happen that you decided exactly to be joined by them, these three extra people?
Yeah, so it started with Jonathan. I met him during my studies. He also studied songwriting with me, but we never happened to actually collaborate. So we knew each other and we liked each other, but we kind of didn't think of it. I don't know why. And when I just released El Dorado, he got into bass playing during that time. So he's actually a guitarist and a singer as well. Mm-hmm. And then he offered me if I ever need a bass player, I could just text him.
Great.
And that's how it all started. Now he's playing guitar in my band, and he's also singing a lot of beautiful harmonies in the band, which are also a big part of our music, I would say. Mm-hmm. And then we got into arranging the songs I already wrote, And so this is kind of the Amber and the Moon Foundation, I would assume. Mm-hmm. And then later on, we were joined by our drummer, Torben. And he's really, really decent. He has great ideas, and it was kind of the first and best fit. So he was recommended to us. We were looking for a drummer, since the idea was to have a band and go into the studio and have like full band arrangements as well on stage. And then I think a friend of ours just recommended him, and we just met him once. And after one rehearsal, we said, yes, that's it. We should do this.
It was a good click then.
Yeah, definitely.
One rehearsal and then...
It was cool. And in the end, our producer, Ben, now happens to also play bass with us on stage.
Mm-hmm.
So he was part of the journey from the beginning, but just lately he transformed into an active band member, which is also really nice, and I'm really happy that I found them.
Yeah, well, seems like you have a good collective now with you and people that vibe together well and can add something to each other. Super. And what about the themes that you are entangled with? What are the kind of themes? Because I read online that you, at least you describe your music as being rather somber, so a bit dark or melancholic in a way. So tell me a bit about the themes that you work around.
Yes, I think it's not something that really happened intentionally. I think it's just my natural voice in music. So mm-hmm. it's not that I thought of, oh, I want to do this kind of music specifically. It just happened. I think that's the best way to describe it. I wouldn't say that it can't change in the future for additional records, but for now it's I would say it's more indie folk, melancholic, a bit of mysterious vibes, and right now I really like that.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that it matches you, or is kind of an expression of you as a person, as your identity, or is it something a bit more fictional, something that you create for yourself in the music, if you know what I mean?
I think both. So it's definitely 100% me and music. Like if music would speak through me, that's how it sounds. And yes, of course, we are creating sounds and try to create a sound world so that it's not just something I perceive when I'm playing, that I have a feeling that I only can feel or hear.
Mm-hmm.
I also wanted to deliver it in that way. So this is why we created this soundscape to it. And yeah, we always have that in mind, of course, but it's just... I think it's like a language. You kind of start to learn it and then you can just use it. And in the beginning, it's kind of, it's a bit of work because everyone in the band needs to be on the same page that you know where you're heading to. But I think we just found our place for now. And yeah, I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, absolutely. And I always want to know a bit more and to get a sense of the inspiration behind any track that I hear. And now that I can speak to you, I can just directly ask you, where does the inspiration come from? Or what are the things or the states, like mental states or emotional states that inspire you, if that is what inspires you, or maybe it's something outside, not really internal. Just tell me a bit more about that, and how does a song come to be as Amber?
It's definitely always something that reaches out to me emotionally. So I know I studied songwriting, so I should be able to write songs about everything, basically.
Is that how it is?
But for me, there's no reason in writing a song if I can't really connect to it, or if I don't feel the urge to write about a certain feeling. So maybe to have a little abstract image of it, like how a song is born when I write it. You can imagine it as a, like a tank full of emotions. Mm-hmm. And the tank is empty in the start, but it fills itself up day by day. And at sometimes it reaches a level which feels like a tension, or you feel that some things are rotating. Mm-hmm. And often I can't really tell what's going on, but I know it's emotionally there's something that wanted to be said.
Yeah.
And then that's the point usually where I grab my guitar and play melodies that I haven't played before and just sing some lyrics, and then like the puzzle finally solves itself, and then I know, oh, that was what it was about all the time. I feel like the urge or an emotion to write a song, but it wasn't clear to me, and then it's just there and says hello to the world.
I understand you completely. So you really, in a sense, you really are an artist than the way we understand an artist being, because you use the craft for channeling, really. Like you said, you sometimes don't really get what it is that's bubbling, but then you channel it in your craft, in what you produce, and then it makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. And it's such an rewarding feeling, or it's also a big release. And then kind of this tank of emotions is empty again, and it can't be filled.
Yeah.
So, and you can't control it, basically. Sometimes it happens a few times in a week, mm-hmm. or then it takes a few months. And yeah, most of the time, because you ask what inspires me,
yep.
I would definitely say like a first-hand experiences. So like relationships you have, yep. be it like to friends or your boyfriend or girlfriend, whatever. And experience you make with this world, or things that resonate with you in general, and then you have to figure out what it does to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there are different topics that I write about, so I think it's definitely about emotions in regards to people, but also like the first single, for example, called El Dorado.
Yeah.
It's actually about domestic violence. And luckily that's nothing that happened to myself.
Mm-hmm.
But I somehow felt the urge to write about it. It's written from the perspective of a child which is too young to understand what's actually going on in the household.
Yeah.
But it's definitely sensitive enough to feel it. And so this is like the perspective I was writing, but somehow this topic resonated with me, and I was able to throw myself in 100% and dive in this emotion. And I think that's the important thing for me, to be authentic and to have a connection to it, and then it kind of just works for me to write songs.
It sounds like a deeply empathic experience for you then, to be able to really feel the emotion, get into it, and then transfer it in your way. So to communicate it in your way, it really seems like you almost enter, because that was not purely your personal experience, but it was a state that you could enter, and then to view it from that side and say, okay, I can imagine, or I can feel how that child would feel.
Yeah, kind of. And I always think it's really imaging, visually connected. So when I write songs, I often have like clear pictures in my mind that I try to put into lyrics. Not always that obvious, but it's like a little universe that opens itself up, and you can just enter it and be surrounded by it, and then just channel it.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Does that also influence the visual aspect of your videos then, this visual mindset that you have, that you carry?
Kind of. It's actually a music video trilogy that we just created for the upcoming album. So every single video can be seen as a short film, but at the same time, they are all interwoven with each other and just make sense in the end, probably. Actually, like the last or the final video will be released next month, so this is quite exciting.
Awesome. before the actual release of the full album, or
with the album release.
With the
actually.
Album, okay. Because I maybe a good idea to mention now. So 27th of January next year.
That's fine.
Yes, that's when the album is coming out. It's called Things We've Got in Common.
Exactly.
Great. Perfect. And how is the, or can you reveal that actually? How is the video called?
So the video is for a song which is called While Everything Else Was Quiet. And it's the last track of the upcoming album. And it closes the video trilogy. And right now we're in the middle of organizing everything because we have the music video shoot by the end of the month. So that's exciting.
Very exciting. Yeah. Right at the end of this year. And
quite last minute, like it's always the case, you kind of actually plan things for months and then you think, oh, we have so much time, and then it's like, wow, it arrives so soon, how can we even do that?
Yeah.
But yeah, so if anyone wants to watch the video, it's on YouTube and you're all dearly invited to stream them and kind of follow the history and the story. And yeah, it's because initially you asked if that's also part of the songs, and yeah, they also connected, and it's also like the mysterious vibe. So we play with a bit of myths in that. Our last release, Morpheus, for example, which is from Greek mythology, and kind of evolves around the feeling of not. Feeling at home and have restless nights, and you, it's like a conversation to Morpheus, god of the dreams. And yes, there was a thought I had on my mind, but I kind of lost track.
Maybe it will pop up amidst the other questions that I have. I personally, of course, in preparation for this talk, I watched a couple of videos, I listened to a couple of the songs, and I really like the visual aspect. So that's why I always have to ask this question, because for me, the visuals, how they represent the music, how they stand behind the message, that's really important for me personally. But for anyone who hasn't got an idea and they are now listening or viewing this and they are thinking, so what is Amber and the Moon about? What is the kind of song, or maybe you can name one song that they can start with, or a video that they can start with?
That's a good question. Especially since the album isn't released yet, so there's only like a handful of songs they can be listened to. If I have to pick one, I would pick two.
Okay.
So for the video, I would recommend to watch Morpheus. Even though if it's the second part of the trilogy, so it might be confusing to not watch the other ones, but it should definitely still work. And yeah, it's like musically, I think it also represents us very well. And it features a lot of harmonies of Jonathan and me together, which is a big part of Amber and the Moon. So I like that. And generally for the atmosphere, I think I would recommend El Dorado. Even though we kind of re-recorded the song, so there's a new version on the upcoming album of it, and I actually prefer this one. So
you prefer the new version?
I prefer the new version. So it's still the same song, but it has different features. And I would say the atmosphere that is created there is, can be really intriguing. So I would recommend El Dorado and Morpheus for now.
All right. Yeah, great choices. I still need to see El Dorado, in fact, but Morpheus I've already seen. So I can attest to that. I really liked it. And something a bit in that line that I wanted to ask you as well. You as a person, I think I brushed upon that a little bit, but still I would like to know more. So you as a person are a certain way, but do you think that you as a performer within Amber and the Moon is slightly different, distinctly different, or how do you feel yourself when you perform as opposed to in your daily life?
I think that's a tricky one because I would say yes and no. So it differs and it's still it don't differs. So I would say my project Amber the Moon is 100% me. So you get everything basically. Mm-hmm. I'm completely honest, and it's not something I just imagine or think about, and it's something that which is abstract to me. I just pour everything into it, but at the same time, it's just a side of me. So I would say, as a person, I definitely have this melancholic and sensitive part, but I keep to hide it, and I'm rather like an open and funny person. And I would say that my artist persona is something that I would usually hide or only share with a few of people in real life. Yes, because normally I keep things for myself, or if I'm surrounded by people, I'm in control of my emotions, if that makes sense. So yes. I bet you know persons who barely know you, but they pour out their heart and like you've known them forever and tell you everything.
Yeah.
And that's not who I am.
Yes, I understand. It's completely fine. It's just a different way of being in the world. A bit like if you're an introvert or an extrovert, just to put it very, that's a on the surface distinction, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
That you can be a bit more selective, and when you feel safe with somebody and you feel that that's your type of person, you can share a bit more of yourself, reveal a bit more of yourself.
Definitely. And I also think that that through writing my lyrics, it's like a really healthy process, because to not keep all these feelings for yourself, it's great if you find finally words for your emotions and can put them into lyrics. So I would say I'm more honest through my music, or it enables me to be more open, like in the real life scenario or daily life scenario. So definitely carries both sides. So if that answers your question, I think
Yeah, I think so. And it's always really fascinating to me how different artists just find a different driver behind what they do, and how they reveal different parts. Some of them just create a completely different persona, and it's not that integrated. Yeah, yes, yeah, absolutely.
There's like different personas every year, and it's a completely new human.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say this probably won't happen to me. Like, I don't know what the future is, but for now it's my songs, my music, and me as an artist is me as a person, but they are still differentiated in a way.
Yeah, it's more, yeah, I also get that sense. So it's more representative of you still in the majority of the music. Oh, perfect. All right. I'm also curious, you mentioned a bit about the other three members. What is the, if you can name one word to associate with each one of them, what would you say for each one of them?
Okay, that could be a tough thing for me, because if they listen to it, I need to be careful.
You can test your friendship that way.
Or I just won't tell them about it. Okay, that's a tricky one. So I start with Tom, our drummer. I think he listens. Point. he's really careful with everything, which I like, because this, like, he's careful when it comes to music, so he really listens to what Jonathan and I are doing, and he's never too much. I mean, there are a lot of drummers who just go for all of it and just steady kick drum,
yeah,
super loud, and he's really that can be really quiet and soft and just listens to everyone around you. And yeah, that's what I really appreciate about him. And it also relates to like normal interaction. So mm-hmm. he's really attentive, and that's Tom in a little nutshell. That's really simple in that way. But okay, and Jonathan, he can be best described that he wants to be an old man. Like, this is his dream, to have wrinkles all over him and just sit there and do nothing, just feeding ducks.
He actually wrote
a song about being an old man and if how this is life fulfilling. So Jonathan is the old man in our band. Mm-hmm. And then we have Ben, our producer and bass player, and I would say he's one of the kindest people I know, which I really appreciate. And yes, all of them are super funny, so it's like a little family and we always have a great time. So that's really cool.
Delicate, sensitive, funny people, humorous people.
Yeah.
It's a cool combination. Interesting what they would say about you, though. What do you think they would say? How do you think they would describe you?
Oh, I think they wouldn't take this question serious. So I would look bad after the answers.
Yeah, well, it's not a super serious question, so they can shoot. They can just shoot anything.
Maybe I ask him. And if there's like another episode of this podcast, and
yeah,
I'm happy to tell you the answer.
Yeah, what about, yeah, they can join, for example, when 27th of January has passed and a bit after the release, and then to get some impressions from them as well.
Okay. And if we don't like the answers, we can just cut it out.
Oh, awesome. All right. So we do have also a rubric that for some reason a lot of our guests want to skip. I'm very glad that you decided you wanted to take part in it. It's called the Galactic Trinity. So basically three items or objects, something that's really important for you, and to tell us a bit about those three.
Great name, by the way.
Galactic Trinity.
Thanks. I read through your mail in the morning and I was like, what can I show you? So I have like a really basic thing, which mm-hmm. is my guitar. Like I have many different guitars, but mm-hmm. this is like my main go-to guitar. I think I bought it when I was 14, so 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. I think that every song on the upcoming record was written on this guitar. So this is quite special. I think like most of the artists have like a holy relationship as one of the instruments.
Yeah.
For me. Okay, let's see. It's like a record by a band called Black Cedar Who. I don't know if you know them. They are from Switzerland.
No, and I am a bit annoyed that I don't know them because it says literally Black Cedar Who. And yeah, I come from the Black Sea, so that's a miss on my part.
I will send you a link later and you'll probably enjoy it.
Yeah, please do.
I think they are masters at their craft. They're doing indie folk music. Mm-hmm. And I recently went to a show of theirs in Hamburg, I think it was 1 or 2 weeks ago, and it was really special. I think it was the best show I've seen this year.
Mm.
And they are really amazing, and they have a great live set. And I don't know if you know this feeling when you go to a concert and afterwards you feel like that something just happened to you and everything makes sense again.
Yeah.
And
yeah. Like you've been rearranged.
Kind of. I think you can experience this on a personal basis, but yeah, also musically, because it was so breathtaking live show and the people resonated so much with it. And the day after I had a concert and I was taking so much from that show,
yeah,
it kind of reminded me of what I want to do actually, or why am I doing this?
Mm-hmm.
So this was really nice. And also I kind of took a lot of inspiration from their sounds for my upcoming record.
Curious now, is, even more.
I don't know if you hear it, but for me, it triggered a lot of sounds I wanted to try out. And yeah, so this is Black Cedar Who, 10 out of 10 recommend.
Okay.
So if you have a chance to see them live, I would definitely do that.
Okay, and they are, you mentioned they are a European band.
They're from Switzerland. Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like they're touring like every day, all year. Because I open up my social media, it's just like, we played a concert tonight, and it just never ends. So
serious stuff.
The
okay.
Chances are high that you're going to see them live.
High chance, yeah. I just thought of the same, yeah.
And then I have like a third object. I think this might be loud.
Yay!
This is a wind chime.
Yes.
I don't know if you hear the sound.
Yes.
Because
it's audio.
It also ended up on the record. And the thing about this wind chime is that maybe I put it away, so it's just.
We heard it. Yeah. We heard the ringing sound.
You saw it. So the story about this wind chime is that I think I visited my mom last year during summer, and I saw this at her window for the first time. So I don't know if I was just blind. I don't know if it was there forever. And it was the first time I actually kind of saw it.
Yeah.
Or if it was just new, and I really kind of resonated with how it looked. It has like this holiday feeling to me, and it's just like a warm aura mm-hmm. in a way. And my mom kind of noticed that I was really attracted to the wind chime. And by the end of the stay, she kind of put it in a towel and said, yeah, take it with you to Hamburg. And I was really happy about it. And then I put it over my window. Next to my bed. And then I noticed when I opened my window during night, there was always like this tiny little noises that you just heard. And I love it so much. It gives me like a warm feeling, and it feels like a blanket, and you just surrounded by it. And then I kind of wanted it to be on the record somehow. And I already told you about these ideas collection for Howling.
Yeah.
And it's actually a sound that ended up on the record.
Yes.
It's really funny or also interesting, because for me it's just like a tiny noise which is on the record for like 1 or 2 seconds. And I thought it's maybe something for the atmosphere, but people wouldn't really notice it. But so many people after hearing the song were like, what is this noise in second blah blah blah? I really like it. What's it? It does so much.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really cool to see, because I was not the only person who reacted like this to this object. So this was kind of a nice coincidence. And it also ended up on the last song of the album, where there will also be a video about. So we have it 2 times on the record. And I just saw it this morning and thought, yeah, maybe this could be a good fit for this section of the podcast.
Definitely. Yeah, all of them have a significance. So that's what the rubric is about, you know, something that's really dear to you and to share for a different reason. And what about now, besides the album coming, which is coming up that and being released, which is very exciting, beginning of next year, 27th of January, something else that you're looking forward to? Any live performances, anything? Where can we catch you?
So, besides the record, for which we actually manufactured Winers, which is a really dream come true. You're dearly invited to already pre-order it. And we also have like CDs and other merch items, which I'm really looking forward to. And yeah, like a big thing is coming up actually. So we will be going on tour. First we have our album release show on the 26th of January in Hamburg, and then we will be the support band of Rhonda for the whole tour through Germany and actually the Netherlands.
Oh, so I can see
that. Yeah, hopefully. So I can, I think the tour will last for 2 or 3 weeks and it will be like every day a new city, which will be really exciting because it's the first tour I ever played.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited for this. And the cities we're going to play in Netherlands are the following three, because I think most of the people who will listen to this podcast are from the Netherlands. So
yeah.
I bet I pronounced them 100% wrong. But the first one is Sneek.
Snake. So with the double E, right? Snake.
Exactly.
Yeah, Snake.
Snake.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have Wooden.
Would have to write this down.
Wooden.
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 Yes, I know it. I know it. Yes.
And the third one is Sittard.
Sittard. Yes.
Sittard.
Sittard is in Limburg. So it's the south, really south of the Netherlands.
So these are the three cities we're going to play in the Netherlands, which is really exciting.
You have some good venues there, actually. Are you going to be playing in an open stage, or is it within a venue, really?
It's actually venue, so it's inside. I don't know the venue titles by heart, but you can definitely check it out on my socials. I posted like a tour plan there. Are these city any close to you?
I think that the closest one to where I personally live is Uden, but Sittard is also not that far away, and it's
just let me know. I think it's in the beginning of March, and I can definitely put you on the guest list.
That would be lovely. Yeah, I would love that personally. And for anyone who is interested and listening from the Netherlands, let's check the events. So we'll put them in the description so that anyone can click and be informed when you're coming to play. So that is that's lovely to hear. And anything else? So besides the tour, anything else that you're looking that's forward to that's not really a secret you can share?
So we're going to also release new music, which will be in the making, I think, in January. So right before we go on tour, there will be some recordings again, which will be exciting. And there are also some radio gigs all over Germany, which is quite exciting. And hopefully we will be part of the festival summer. Let's see how that goes. But next year will be full of music. And yeah, it's exciting to see how the album will resonate with the world, and yeah, exciting to see what happens next.
And Ronnie, what would you say to anyone who is now starting and wants to do what you do or something similar, that they're at the beginning stages of their career or trying to make it and to release their craft? What kind of advice do you have for them? Because you're still quite young and you are really at the beginning of everything as well yourself, but you do have plenty of experience in other ways before, musically. So what would be your advice?
So my advice would be have courage to do things and don't let anyone tell you can't do it. Because that happened to me a lot, and people say like, you can never make it, and that's just not true. Because the vision which is kind of projected to the world and the life of music is that you're either successful, which means like everyone knows you, you're like a Ed Sheeran, and everything else don't exist.
Yeah.
And then there's like the other part, and say you're not successful, and this is just like a weird projection of the world, because now that I started to do music in Hamburg, I see that there are so many options and there are so many working fields in the music industry.
Yeah.
And it's so nice to see that it actually works. So you just need courage and do what you want to do. And I think no one should stop you. And especially also on the female side, it can be really hard that there are guys who tell you that a woman should be in a certain way, or that it's only about sex cells, and that's just not true. Yes, I think just do it.
Good one. Yeah, I agree with you, of course. I think there's a lot more opportunities than we sometimes think, and we should remind ourselves it's not so black and white. And if you really want it, you can find a different way. You can find a way to create it yourself.
Definitely. And it's, I think a lot of people are waiting to for the right moment to maybe release music. And I think that's also a fault if you always keep thinking you're not good enough already or you should be better, because this will always be the case.
Yeah.
I think it's so normal that you develop, and it's really important that you kind of capture the state you're in right now, and then just release it into the world, and then people can actually resonate with you and things can happen. So I think it's a pity when there are people who are really talented, but they're just afraid of kind of showing it to the world and just let it happen in that way.
Yeah, I think that it's best to take this advice. I won't say anything more because it's so beautiful. I hope people take it to heart, and especially the ones that are really doubting themselves and just start doing something. Thank you very much for that. Before we end the interview, I want to make it also very clear to anyone who's listening how they can support you and where they can best support you. We will post the links under in the description, but tell us where they can do that.
First of all, thank you so much for inviting me to this wonderful podcast.
You're welcome.
It was a pleasure to talk to you.
Likewise.
And thank you. And yes, I mean, you can find us on Instagram. I think this is the place where I'm most active. Just search for Amber and the Moon and you will find us and be updated about everything. But on all streaming platforms, you can find us as well, like Spotify or YouTube or Apple, whatever, whatever feels comfortable to you listening. And I also have a website, actually, which is also called Invent the Moon Music. And this is like a special place for me because I keep it like a journal. Yeah. And to every release and to every video, I write about it. And there are like different sections, so I can give you like really insights and show you around the songwriting process, the production, can tell you about the music video, our experiences there, and the artwork. And the artworks, by the way, are also all together and connected. And this is like the place to go to if you want to find out more about the songs and the music.
Mm, that's really your Amber in the world, in the moon world. Amber in the world. Yeah, that is it. Lovely. All right. So what we're going to do, we're going to post all of these links, of course, underneath in the description. Thank you again to you as well. I was going to say Amber, but it's Ronja, of course. Thank you as well. And I hope that we can reconnect for another chat next year. Good luck with the release. We'll talk again. And for anyone who wants to support also our podcast, you can join us on Discord too. So Stereo Sound Podcast, it's anywhere. When you type us in Google, you'll see our Instagram, website, anything that you're interested in. So thank you everyone for listening as well. And very nice end of the year if you're listening before the end of 2022. Bye.
And Christmas.
Christmas. If we release it before Christmas, that I'm not sure, but we'll do our best. Okay, everyone, bye.